Treasons Radio. This is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM with Relly Rails and Jules Andre Brown.
Look, my liege!
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Welcome, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. I'm your host, Austin.
And back on the air is Will Kaufman, otherwise known as Gary Fisher, to a few special listeners.
Yeah, and we're broadcasting live off of unceded Musqueam territory. So, yes, we have a cool show today. We're going to talk a little bit about polar bears. Will Kaufman over here is not only a fish enthusiast, but also a very very avid polar bear lover.
Polar bear lover.
Yeah.
And viewer, too.
A viewer of polar bears.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get more into that later in the show.
Cool. Yeah, so we've got a lot of songs, cool songs played queued up for you. Tracks by Missy D, Silver Mount Zion, Alt J, Pink Shiny Ultra Breath, Ride, Girlpool. Lots of cool songs coming your way. So stay tuned for the next hour. Yeah, it's the best hour of any morning. Friday mornings, every Friday mornings, 9 a.m.
Yes. And, you know, this talk will be full of highs and lows, but we'll keep you on the edge of your seat and, you know, kind of wake up to some interesting facts and more about these majestic Arctic beasts.
Yeah, there's nothing cooler than learning about something cool in the morning. I feel like maybe the morning is the best time to
cool off.
To cool off.
Yeah.
With
and chill out.
Cool facts about cool things that live in very cool places.
That are super chill.
It's very chill. But yeah, so this week has been a totally whirlwind week here at the station. It has been Fun Drive. Fun Drive finale is tonight, celebrating the end of Fun Drive. Right now, we do not. The phone lines are closed. But you can still, if you want to donate to our cause, Fun Drive, it's our annual fundraiser here at the station. You can still donate on CITR.ca. You can click donate now. We've raised $2,600. That's a good amount.
Yeah, that's a good amount, man.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Lots of generous people out there, and if you donate to Wise Men Radio, I'll pick up a piece of trash for every dollar donated. So, yeah, roll some big bucks.
I'll hold them to that. Yeah. We were playing catch the other day, and I saw him pick up some trash at the park.
Yeah.
So whoever donated a few buckaroos, you know, it paid off.
Yeah, I've been out there bending my back, you know, just really. It's been a real, real doozy. But anyways, do you want to talk about polar bears a bit, or should we just play some songs?
You know what? Let's warm the listeners up with some audio tunes, and we'll come back with some cool and fun, interesting things about these sea bears.
Sea bears. Is that what you call? Did I hear correctly?
Sea bears. That's what a lot of people call them.
Really?
They're a marine mammal.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna start off our song or songs or show with a song by Sun Kil Moon. Sun Kil Moon is a cool artist. And just came out with a new album this year called Common as Light and Love Are Red Valleys of Blood. Very cool. Kind of, this song is kind of a lot of spoken word in there. It's called Sarah Lawrence College Song. So check it out. Give her a listen. I'm going to see you guys in a few. Get your ears ready. Sarah Lawrence College, this is my Sarah Lawrence College, this is my Sarah Lawrence College song. 8:02 a.m., April 25th, 2016, New York. Everything went fine at Sarah Lawrence College. While I was on stage, I asked the kids to educate me on what exactly it is that they studied there. A person shouted, "We do whatever the hell we want." I replied, "Well, that's what I've been doing all my life." I asked what their parents paid for them to do whatever the hell they want, and a girl in the front row said, $60,000 a year. I said, "Well, that's what Walmart pays me to use my music in commercials, and that maybe I could go to their school one day too, because they all seem like really nice people." I explained that Kirk Hammett from Metallica went to college after Metallica made it, which was met with a thud. A nice girl named Sophie played piano on a few songs with us because my mic couldn't reach the piano. She played the four notes on Richard Ramirez and Carry Me Ohio really, really well. That was a lot of fun. We also played When Doves Cry in honor of Prince, who died the night before. Steve Shelley played drums with me that night, by the way. What a great drummer. Steve's also a really nice guy. Great acoustics in the room, and the show went really well. We got out of there by midnight. What a cool group of kids and a nice promoter named Max. It was the first show he ever promoted, and he gave me a check in an envelope, which I actually didn't open until just now here in my New York hotel, 3 nights after the gig. This is what his note said. "Dear Ma, first of all, thank you so much for playing Sarah Lawrence College. Even though we have a really small school and don't get much attention, we have a lot of really passionate kids. I know every single one of them is thrilled to have you come. Your music means so much to so many. I first heard your music when I was searching songs about Los Angeles for a project in high school. I was 15 or 16. I came across a cruiser and it changed everything for me. It was the music I've been searching for a long time. Some people say your music makes them sad and that you make sad music. I don't know. I guess I disagree. Your music was in it a comfort to me. I feel sort of connection to it that is less a melancholic thing, but more a reassuring thing. I was taking a 7-hour train across the state of New York. I listened to the entirety of Benji and Red House Painters one back to back. I thought of a lot of things when I listened to those records, and somehow it brought me to know that someone was thinking some of those same things. It was calming, and even though I'm writing this letter before you even take the stage, I know the scene you perform tonight will be one of my most enjoyable moments. So thank you again so much for coming. I hope you had a nice time, and I hope this letter finds you well. Looking forward to the next record. The Yaesu Sunkill Moon LP was great. And hopefully I can see you again on November 10th in Brooklyn. Best wishes. Thanks again, Max." Sarah Lawrence College.
silver mount side. Kill first the banker with his professional demeanor. Let's televise and broadcast the raping of kings. Let our crowds be fed on tear gas and plate glass, 'cause the people unite.
Stepped out one morning.
sky is awning. Neon, 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 blue neon lamp in a midnight country field. Gals around, so you lean on, lean on. So much your hugs become holders.
On Friday, March 17th, come out to the Polish Community Center to join CITR and Discorder in celebrating our community's generosity and hard work with the Fun Drive finale.
Featuring one-off, never-heard-before performances by Tim the Mute, Hick, Puzzlehead, Ashley Shadow, Swim Team, and Missy D and Lady Jams.
Can't make it out? The night will be live broadcast at 101.9 FM and at CITR.ca. And for the first time ever, it will be streaming live on video.
There will also be a very special publication featuring poetry and visual art from the performers, free with entry.
Tickets are $10 in advance and $12 at the door, with all proceeds going towards CITR's Fun Drive. I'm a grown woman and that's what's up.
I've been really trying. Do you like laughing, hilarity, radical thought-provoking creativity, and laughing? UBC Improv is UBC's home for improvisational comedy, theater made up on the spot. Like us on Facebook to learn when our next shows are. Search for us on YouTube for our film sketches. And follow us on Twitter because we want the followers. UBC Improv. Insert cheesy slogan here. Let's get it on.
Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. I'm Austin.
And I'm Will.
Yes. Last we just heard was Alt-J's new song, 3WW. Very, very cool. It's new. So, yeah. And also, the song before that was Silver Mount Zion, a movie never made. And before that, of course, was Sun Kill Moon, Sarah Lawrence College.
That's funny because I was listening to that. I was like, oh, my mom went to Sarah Lawrence. So shout out my mom, you know.
Yeah. Rachel Perlman.
Rachel Perlman coming to Vancouver in a week.
Woo!
Yes, yes. So aside from our mothers, let's delve into some polar talk.
Polar talk, yeah. This is polar hour here at CITR. We talk about everything to do with polar bears.
Polar bears.
Yeah.
Man, what a beast they are, hey?
Yeah.
So, I went to this talk last week by a world-renowned polar bear researcher and scientist called Dr. Ian Sterling out of University of Alberta. And, he just gave this great talk about the natural history of polar bears and the threat to climate warming on their environment in the Arctic. And to just give you some background about polar bears, so they have a very kind of specific and feeding season in, I believe it's the spring and fall, part of both. And so they need to fatten up a lot for the winter.
Winters are pretty harsh.
Winters are pretty harsh. And I mean, their main source of food is ringed seals. And it's kind of, there's a lot of still like science and whatnot going on about the impacts on their main food source, the ringed seals, because they kind of have these air holes that they make throughout like the kind of frozen coastline where this kind of ice is thin enough to be like made into holes for breathing, but you know, still thick enough for protection. So it's very sensitive to change. And so it's just like big and has huge impact for polar bears and their accessibility to their main food source. And so what's kind of happening with kind of melting ice and warming temperatures in the Arctic is there's less of this thick kind of, or like, you know, thick to medium size ice sheets on kind of the coastline where it's accessible by polar bears to kind of get out into this areas where these ring seals are. So, you know, they're now finding that, you know, there's in general 3 weeks less of feeding period for these polar bears now, which has a huge impact for surviving in the winter and raising young in their den. And, you know, because they have to bulk up as much as they can to live off their fat reserves.
Yeah.
Just obviously climate change, like, you know, you can kind of, you know, it's having impacts around the world, but kind of where we're seeing it firsthand of, you know, major dramatic changes in habitat and life cycles is up in this Arctic region.
Mm-hmm. And I think, polar bears, they live in the Arctic. And I feel like a lot of people don't realize how close to home the Arctic is, especially for people in Canada. Like the Arctic is like there's bits of Arctic in all of the territories, and we even see polar bears going into Manitoba, Quebec, and I don't think they go as far south as you know, like Alberta, Saskatchewan, or British Columbia. But
not quite that far south.
Yeah, but you still can find them in places like Quebec and Nunavut, of course, and Manitoba. It's really not that far off of home for Canadian citizens, and also like There's also a big populations in Alaska, in the States. So, yeah, and I think a lot of polar bears have been this big figure of climate change too, and
right, yeah. If one big challenge for climate change right now is polar bears and the Arctic ice. You know? So, this is kind of happening right now. And there's, undefining evidence about how much, actually, sea ice has changed in the Arctic. I mean, from, recorded history in around started in the 1980s when there was about 8 million square kilometers in the Arctic. And now we have just about 4.5.
Yeah.
So that's almost a 50% reduction in, 35 years or something.
Yeah. And that, I think that's a really important statistic, actually. The reduction in land mass, it really shows fragmentation is one of the biggest threats to species here today. One of the biggest threats, and it can really drive extinction. If you have an island or a sheet of ice, these sheets of ice is basically act as islands in the Arctic. And if you have a sheet of ice that's increasingly smaller, it's going to be able to only support a small amount of polar bears actually on the ice, what I'm trying to say is getting across. It's a pretty simple idea, and extinction, as your size of an island decreases, your extinction rate exponentially also increases.
And especially with these polar bears, how they travel huge distances, and sometimes there's seals kind of way out in the island, and if possible, they try not to swim in the frigid Arctic water, right? Yeah. So they'll try to kind of maneuver their way around the connectivity of the ice to get to their prey. And so now, kind of with big scattered, ice chunks, they might have to start swimming a little more, and that uses a lot more energy. And, then they have to dry off in this frigid Arctic air. And I mean, even with their thick skin and fat reserves, it can even be very energy demanding and whatnot. So.
Yeah, and the life history traits of the polar bear makes them extremely vulnerable to these changes in adapting climate. That they need a huge range in order to And we see that increasingly harder to do, especially for pretty much for any species. Now it's really hard to manage for species that have a huge range, because we've fragmented the land so much via roads, via settlements, via logging industry, mining, whatnot. There's not very much together in kind of manipulated,
right?
Not sure if that's the right word.
The Arctic intact. Is one of the last few expansive wild places, just because it's so bare and so cold.
Exactly. Yeah. There's not much that human civilization can do.
Right. So it's directly human development has had little to no impact on polar bears.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing all of our secondhand effects directly affecting it, and which is kind of interesting because, we can be, in Vancouver, New York City, just living our lives. But what we're doing there is impacting species, 2,000 miles north in the Arctic, and you have little to no idea of the reference or kind of what you're doing.
Yeah. The globe is a one fluid system, you know?
Yeah.
Like any impacts regionally, like at your location, will, you know, have perhaps a minute effect like other places, but, you know, everyone's impact, you know, we have a huge population and everyone's impact together, you know, is pretty substantial.
Mm-hmm.
And little things like laws about, you know, emissions and stuff like that all plan to affect. It's everyone can make a difference. This is kind of just a spitting out of
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure this is not everyone's first time hearing about, you know, carbon footprint and climate change and people's impact. And I mean, you know, it's totally just you know, it's like getting the ball rolling, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like kind of, it's that ripple effect that UBC, you know, is trying to get going with sustainability is, you know, it's where do we start with people and changing how we live?
Exactly. Well, I'm going to put a pause on this conversation right here, and we're going to play some more songs. But we'll be back very shortly to talk a little bit more, like expand a little bit more on these ideas that we're having. And so I guess I'll see you guys in a few. Right now, I'm going to play a new song by Land of Talk, Canadian band. They just came out with a new song just a couple days ago. So give it a listen to. It's called Inner Love. Bada boom, bada bing.
Who's sad you always on and brings Yeah. Yo, David T. Ooh. Yo, Kim Ordo. Yo, Missy D. Ooh. I rep that XX. I rep that XX. I rep that XX. Ride it on my chest. I put my XX hard on my chest. I deserve nothing less than the hard-earned respect. Yeah, I rep that XX. They say my words rep the XX. Chromosomes of the unknown, so expect some notes that will reach higher. High temperature, cause I breathe fire. Hard you wanna pause, recipes of syllables. Harder than jalapenos. My claws are present, but I don't like to impose. Sharper than your six and your damn stilettos. Stomping on your ignorance, I suppose. Like I got it, brah. I got it, brah. I push it up and elevate my sisters. I take the stage, you're Roman, we're Roman Empire. This queendom needs no dictator. I rep that XX, ride it on my chest. I put my XX hard on my chest. I deserve nothing less than the heart and respect. Yo, I rep that XX, I rep that XX, ride it on my chest. I put my XX hard on my chest. I deserve nothing less than the heart and respect. Yo, I rep that XX.
What's the method to our madness? How we exit out your boxes? How can you accept how we don't trip on your XY axis? Pit us one against each other like a cat fight or a contest. Trace a line to a brother, try to validate our success. Some doo-doo, you need some Purex. When I see my girls, it's BFF. Texting XOX and we flex on them mic to flip the mess. History so phallic, our poetry come out of lips. Women gender benders, transforming the context. Building my own universe, heart hang on a hook and a verse. Woo-ha with my bigger tricks, step to us, get cursed. Cast spells, a misogynist existence, it's magic, it's all in the music. Immortal Mississippi said, I rep that XX, write it on my chest. I put my XX hard on my chest. I deserve nothing less than that hard earned respect. Yeah, yeah, I rep that XX, write it on my chest. I put my XX hard on my chest. I deserve nothing less than that hard earned respect. What up, Missy?
The name is Missy D, don't know that at somebody. Bring me the back up properly, focus my flow and poetry. The way I twerk the words, I make it perk. Metal bunny bosses in my nerves, feel the verse. I take them weird pauses, my flow on losses. With the usual flow, though you know it's cautious. Like within these bars are my thoughts, of scars running deep like Harry Potter. Check my one, my mic, can't let the magic strike. Habrakadabra, speaking gibberish, all right? Now let's make sense tonight. I rap with the bold Asians, all ages, all races. Humanity, what complicates it? Us. Society's never down with the minority. Trying to make it clear, call it y'all sobriety. If you hear this, your majority, think about the value, not the currency. Dollar signs don't do the poverty. Human in the mirror, y'all check your priority. Let's get it a little bit better. Live another day so I can't fight for change. No superwoman, I just got my AX hard on my chest. I rep that XX hard on my chest. I rep that XX hard on my chest. I rep that XX, write it on my chest. I rep that XX.
You should come out and see the debates this Sunday. Some of the best debaters in North America. You can volunteer or go for free. It's the Gender Minorities Debating Championships. The UBC Debate Society secured the bid to host the North American Women and Gender Minorities Debating Championships this year, after a vote by 22 institutions around the continent. They will be welcoming participants from all debating societies around North America, as well as all members of the UBC community. The tournament final will occur at 3 p.m. on Sunday, March 19th at the UBC Alumni Center. All are invited to come watch some of the best intervarsity debaters in North America.
Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. And
we're back.
We're back.
Talking about polar bears in the Arctic.
Polar bears. So, we wanted to start off this little segment by talking about something interesting that one guy said.
Yeah, so kind of what came into discussion at the end of the talk was the talk I went to about the polar bears kind of ended like, one person asked, like, you know, like, what's the real value, like, upon humans if we end up losing all the polar bears? And I mean, he just gave a direct and straight answer, like, yeah, I'll have little to no impact on human life, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably aside from the communities who live up there and rely on the polar bear for, you know, for fur and meat as part of their, you know, yearly living. As far as, you know, most of civilized human beings, the, you know, it's, polar bear is just kind of this far gone concept of, you know, kind of this majestic beast somehow living in the most extreme environment. And it's kind of a funny ideology. It's like, how does, you know, how does this polar bear even exist in the first place, right? Such an extreme environment with such crucial limitations on a habitat and food. You know, if we were to lose it, it's like, you know, obviously I don't think it's for the general human consensus gonna impact humans directly. Yeah. But, you know, we want to talk about the other values that polar bears bring.
Polar bears, it's an interesting concept that, like, that people are such, like, you know, up in arms about losing polar bears when it's not really going to affect their livelihoods at all. It is really interesting. It's really interesting that people care so much about it, and it's the value that people place on, maybe, you know, most people on their lives will never see polar bears. Most people won't even get, like, close. But it's the value that these people place on just knowing that they exist, knowing that there are polar bears out there. And that's kind of the value that these polar bears have, obvious values of people who live up there.
Right. And I feel like a lot of people kind of see as, you know, this is the first big, like, apex predator, like, being threatened immediately, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, saving the polar bears right now is probably, like, kind of, like, the first huge example we can get with, like, climate change impacts on the earth. And, you know, this is just, you know, start of just like an entire movement, right? To kind of change, I don't know, our infrastructure, our foundation policies. And it's, you know, it's a big outreach.
Yeah, they're a really important, like, flagship species. I would be really curious to see what happens if the polar bears do go extinct. And how does, like, climate change funding, how is that affected, you know? Like, after the polar bears go extinct, supposedly.
How would that change
How does
our actions and everything
else? Yeah, will people care less? Will people care more about climate change once they see that, like, they're like, oh, man, this is real. Like, we got to do something. Or will people be like, well, the polar bears are gone.
Like, give up.
Like, I don't care. I don't care anymore. Like, I was, you know, funding these conservation projects to save the polar bear, and now they're gone. So, like, what am I doing anymore? So, it is really interesting, like, that sort of aspect. Polar bears are really really key flagship species for a lot of movement. Flagship species are kind of like the, like, sea otter, like, cute, cuddly, or, like, really cool in some way species, like the bald eagle, also another one.
Polar bears are also Instagram species.
Instagram species,
Yeah, they're species you see a lot on Instagram.
Yeah, I guess so. But, like, climate change and polar bears have kind of, you know, intertwine themselves, these topics, really one in one, or, like, I'm not sure if that was the right saying.
One in one. Yeah. It's a one in one ratio.
Yeah. But, I mean, they've they've really kind of become the same topic. When you talk about climate change, you talk about polar bears, and if you talk about polar bears, you're talking about climate change. It's interesting. It is kind of an interesting dynamic. I wonder, for my entire life, it's always been polar bears and climate change. I wonder if there was a time, I can't remember it. I'm sure there's people out there. I'm sure that's really dating us, but that can remember a time where people, you could talk about polar bears and the subject of climate change wouldn't even be brought up. And
we haven't recorded. I mean, we started recording data on kind of overall ice sheet landmass in the Arctic starting in the 1980s. It's probably definitely maybe a post 2000 thing I see.
Al Gore. Al Gore really brought it to light. Definitely. A lot of stuff. He won a Nobel Prize for being able to communicate. He's really good at being able to communicate these big ideas about climate change to mass audiences, which is really important. Climate change is also really, really affecting. You see climate change really affecting the Arctic a lot. And everything kind of, climate change, you first hear about the Arctic and these polar regions being kind of the first brunt of the impact. And there's a lot of reasons behind this. One kind of big key reason, it's kind of interesting actually, is that in a lot of places in the Arctic, there is frozen ground. It's permafrost, frozen throughout the year. And once this permafrost thaws, it hasn't thawed in millions of years, So once this permafrost thaws, it releases a bunch of methane, and this methane is then kind of is put into the atmosphere, and methane is greenhouse gas, so it just is a big positive feedback,
which is 10 times more potent for the greenhouse effect than carbon dioxide. This methane's been stored in the soil for millions of years,
Now that's being warmed up, it's being released again,
and then it's contributing to the Arctic warming even more. It's a total positive feedback where, and now they're seeing, now they're seeing afforestation happen, which is trees coming in to where trees have never been before. Up in, northern Yukon, they're seeing, massive spruce groves coming in pretty fast, actually, where, locals have, I've never seen any spruce trees in this region ever before. And, now that the soil is suitable and the climate's a little warmer, these spruce trees are now growing at a pretty, faster rate than if their permafrost was still there, at least.
It is very interesting. I think a lot of people looking at big history is really important, especially if we want to kind of project into the future and kind of know what these environments were that we might see going into the future, because humans have only been around for geologic time for a very short amount of time, so it's always I think it's really important to look into the past. And people, you hear a lot of talk on kind of the climate change isn't a big deal rhetoric side, is there's been warming like this happening throughout Earth's history, And it's kind of, maybe it's not that big of a deal. But the thing is that climate change is a really human kind of motivated, a motivated topic, you know. There's, climate change is going to affect our livelihoods a lot. And there, that's why people care. Whether it is something like we put these values on polar bears, not like knowing that they, just knowing that they exist, you mm-hmm. know, we still, it's still like us putting values. It's not, yeah, yeah, it's just, it's like maybe it, saving polar bears wouldn't actually be great for the environment. Like if polar bears aren't suitable for the environment, you know, then say like, then they maybe should, you know, right. perish. But and, since we've put these values on them, then like,
right. And yeah. it's like, yeah, it's totally, it's, yeah, it's getting much bigger than polar bears. I mean, it's so many species yeah. that are now threatened and mm-hmm. endangered. I mean, if you look at the ocean, right. I mean, there's direct impacts for, you know, like declining salmon stocks and mm-hmm. tuna stocks on commercial fisheries, which obviously has a direct impact. But then there's also species, you know, like obviously are, you know, becoming like threatened or endangered from human impact. And, you know, it's like, what value do they have towards us? And it's a similar talk with polar bears. And yeah. And then, you know, it also depends on kind of what your livelihood is, how much environmental impact is
yeah.
really going to impact your future and your business, or it, maybe it won't. You just stick with the status quo and you're happy with how things are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yeah,
I think that's a big issue with kind of how, yeah, like society and legislation is.
Yeah, yeah, it is. A lot of it's a very complex issue.
Yeah,
that's for sure. There's no one that will debate that, I don't think. And lots of different factors, because the Earth is kind of the big stage where this is all happening, you know. And there's so many, like, the size of us compared to, you know, the things that are happening is so, the ratio is so great.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
that it's really hard to be able to believe you have an impact, and B, like, actually comprehend and understand the whole process that's occurring. I kind of where I was going with this is that the Earth has shown trending warming cycles in the past, similar to the ones that we're experiencing today, but they weren't, humans weren't around during these times. And so, like, going forward with humans on the planet, like, is this a problem?
Is it a historic trend that people are just like, oh, you know, it'll work itself out, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to work itself out no matter what. Whether or not our species will be alive to see it.
It's
going to
work itself out until the sun engraves the Earth.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's still, like, the cosmos working its way out.
It's the cosmos, man.
Yeah, like,
the cosmos will work us out.
It's always kind of humbling to think about that, I think. For me, at least. Like, yeah. I know, it's also very, might be a little depressing for some people, but, you know, like, we're...
Anyway,
yeah.
Closing statement here. So I had a chance, when I was a wee little lad, at my, grandfather, probably when I was about, like, 12 or 11, he took me out to Churchill, Manitoba, which is considered the polar bear capital of the world. And, you know, I went on these tundra buggies in the Arctic right around fall. And I've got the experience to see these massive polar bears with my human eye, my little human eye. And I must say, I mean, you know, it comes back to putting values on these creatures, that these are truly tremendous, curious, majestic species that, you know, it's, you know, words can't even describe how beautiful and how kind of you know, ferocious yet cute looking they are. And, it's just, they're so curious and they look so friendly, but so scary at the same time. And yeah, that's kind of what inspired me, you know, to, I've raised money for the Alaska Wilderness League to go to this exact cause. And, yeah, it's just something that, you know, I'll never forget. And, you know, it's like, wow, how lucky was I to see these, you know, beasts in the wild, and who knows how much longer they'll be there. And, you know, I hope they're there forever, because I feel like everyone should have an opportunity to see them. And, it's a really, really cool, unique experience if someone can make it up to Churchill, Manitoba. It's something special.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thanks for coming on to the show today, Will.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Austin.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you guys next Friday at 9 a.m. sharp. Stay tuned for Mixtapes with Mick and Mac. It'll be a cool show. We'll end you off with just a quick tune by Pink Shiny Ultra. See ya. Bye.